All right, Joel, say good morning. Let's pick up. I believe we left off 8 lines up from the bottom yesterday. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ayin. Today's daf is Ayin Vav. We're going to start from 8 lines up from the bottom. Ayin Hamad Beis. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yud Badim Zelif Limizeh. If you have 10 homes, one within the other. So we'll say again, if you have the picture books in front of you, so you can see that this is picture 243. So 10 homes, one within the other. So essentially, again, you have 10 homes in a contiguous row, but only one of them ultimately opens up into the chatzar. So no sin is a ruva v'dayo. So panimi no sin is a ruva v'dayo. So the inner one goes ahead and makes the eruv, and that's enough. And I've also said the inner one is not like what you would think, that it's the inner one of the chatzer. It's actually the one furthest away from the chatzer. So ultimately, you go ahead and you put your eruv in that outermost home, and that is enough. So I'll say the reason for that is, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, chitzon pasuach lachatzer, v'kulon drisas raglo alav. So we'll say, because essentially what we're going to say is that Lamaisa, that outer home, has the right of passage through all of those other homes. Therefore, by definition, all those other homes are just considered to be like a beis shar, a gatehouse. Therefore, as long as you put the eruv in the outer one, then Lamaisa, that's enough to permit all of them. Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu chitzon. So the Rabbi Yochanan says, even the outer one. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, chitzon beis sharhu. Right? But the chitzon is just considered to be a gatehouse. And Rabbi Yochanan, we assume that the chitzon over here means the outermost one, which is the one that opens right up into the chatzar. So the Gemara says, but why would you put the eruv in that one? That home is just considered to be a beis shaar. That would just be considered to be a gatehouse. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. Chitzon beis shaar hu, chitzon shel pnimi. So the Gemara says, no, what are we talking about? Not the outer one that opens up into the chatzar, but ultimately the one right next to the furthest home. That's called chitzon shel pnimi. That's picture 243. You can still see it over there. That would be the 9th house out from the chatzar. So the Gemara says, "B'maikam efligi." What are they arguing about? Mar savar beis shaar diyochid shmei beis shaar. So remember that ninth house. What's unique about it is there's only one person that has a rite of passage on it, and ultimately that is the outermost 10th house. So the shaila is, if only one person has a rite of passage through it, does that make it a beis shaar or not? So that's, or does it only become a beis shaar when multiple people have the rite of passage through it? Mar savar beis shaar diyochid shmei beis shaar. So one opinion holds that even if only one person has access through it, it's still called a gatehouse. Umar savar lo shma beis shaar. Another opinion holds that no, in order to be considered a gatehouse, multiple people ultimately have to have rite of passage through it. Okay? Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Amrav. Beis chatzeros, v'gimo batim b'nehem. We'll say if you have 2 chatzeros and 3 homes in between them. So we'll say this again is picture. This is picture 244. So you can see over here. So we'll say, so you have a home. You have a home. Each have chatzeros, and in between the 2 chatzeros are 3 contiguous homes. 3 contiguous homes. So says the Gemara. Zeba derech ze, v'no sin ruva b'ze. So we'll say, what do they do? So right, so the one from one chatzar comes through the home that's next to his chatzar and puts the eruv in the middle home, and the other one from the other chatzar comes through his chatzar and puts the eruv in the middle home. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Zeba b'derech ze ben chatzar zu ba derech bayis hapasuach lo v'noson eruvo be'emtsoi v'asa bayis hapasuach lo ki beis shaar la'avor alav le'emtsoi. V'chin b'chatzar acheres asa bayis hapasuach lo kebeis shar v'ire be'emtsoi chatzar acheres in echad midor. So we'll say this is very interesting. So the Gemara suggests over here like this. So what happens? So each of the homes, each of the chatzeros that have a home that opens up to it, that chatzar becomes like a beis shar. That chatzar becomes like a gatehouse, and that allows it access to go through the gatehouse to get to the middle home. So essentially, each of the chatzeros are positioning their eruv in that middle home. Again, if you're looking at the pictures, it's picture 244. Each of those chatzeros are putting their eruv in the middle house, and ultimately, that will allow them access. So the Gemara says, "Tap of Ayin Vav, Zeh Naaseh Beis Shaar LeZeh." So this the home that opens up into this chatzer. We're dealing with three contiguous homes in between these two chatzeros. So what the Gemara is essentially saying is each of the homes that's attached to the chatzer is made like a base sha'ar, is made like a gatehouse. So this home that's next to the chatzer becomes a base sha'ar. V'zeh na'asa base sha'ar l'zeh. And tsoi, the middle home, which is the third house, havelei bayis shemanichin bo eruv. That becomes the home in which the eruv is placed. V'ein tzrichin litin es hapas. Now remember, we'll say when you are positioning your Erev in a particular home, so the idea is the home in which the Erev is being positioned, we said this already, does not need to contribute its own bread. Look at Rashi, which is one of the ones that we'll say. So each home becomes a base shah, becomes a gatehouse for the chatzar that it's next to. And therefore, again, each member of each chatzar goes to their base shah, places the Erev in the middle home, and the middle home need not contribute anything because it's the place in which the Erev is being placed. So, Badik Luhu Rachba L'Rabbanon. So, Rachba wanted to literally check the rabbis. What does that mean? Rashi says, Menase Im Chachmo L'Hashiv. He wanted to check their wisdom if they would have the ability to answer complicated questions. So what did he ask them? Beis Chatzeros Ubeis Batim Beinehem. What if you have two Chatzeros? And in between the two chatzeros are two homes, zeh ba derech zeh, v'nasen eruv ba'zeh, v'zeh ba derech zeh, v'nasen eruv ba'zeh, kana eruv olo. So I said, interesting shaila. So now let's say instead of three homes, you have two homes, right? So what happens? This one doesn't have a picture, but you don't need too much imagination. Just take out one house from the previous picture. And that's it. So the Gemara says, what happens? You have two homes open to each other. This one comes to the home that's next to its chatzer and places its Erev in the other chatzer. This one comes from its chatzer, goes into the home next to it, and places the Erev in the other home. Do they acquire an Erev or not? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shtei chatzeros shnei batin b'neihem. Ve'in b'nei shtei chatzeros rotzen la'ariv zu im zu. Ela kol achas v'yatzma. So it's a very interesting case. So what happens? They're not really interested in making an Erev with each other. They're interested in making an Erev for themselves. So what did they do? They went ahead and they assumed that the home that opened up to their chatzah was a beis shar, a gatehouse, and they used access to that gatehouse to place the Erev in the other home. When I say other home is, they each ended up placing the Erev not in the home next to their chatzer, but in the home one removed from their chatzer. So the Gemara says, Mahu. Look at Rashi. Mahu. Vadat. So the Gemara says, Mahu. Maybe we should read the Gemara first. Let's read the Gemara first. So, Mi Mashvi Lehu Legabe Dahai Bayis Ulegabe Dahai Beishar Ulegabe Dahai Beishar Ulegabe dahai bayis. So we'll say, what's the shaila? The shaila is now, how do we categorize these two homes? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mahu. Itar vayu beis sha'ar mashvinan. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, how do you look at these two homes? If each home is categorized as a beis sha'ar, as a gatehouse, then what? Ein echad mehen eruv. Then neither of the eruvs work. Why? Da'anosin eseruvo bebeis sha'ar t'an l'kamon. Because we've established, we'll see it later on in the Mishnah, but we've already said it, that you can't put your Erev in a Beis Shar. Erev has to be in a proper domicile, and Beis Shar is not that. The Itar Vayu Bayis Kamar, Ein Echel Mehen Erev, Shari Bayis Zeh Mafsik, Bein Chatzer Le'eruvo, V'hu Lo Eruv Ima, Ve'ino Yecholo Lahavi Eruvo L'socha Derech Bayis Yash. We'll say, listen to this. So now, the Manashach says the Gemara, if the home next to the chatzer is a base sha'ar, then it turns out that, let's say, we'll call it like this, and the people on the left side, left chatzer, went through the home that's next to them, placed the Erev in the home that's next to the home that opens up to their Erev, they're placing that Erev in a base sha'ar. If they're placing the Erev in a base sha'ar, it doesn't work. If you're saying it's not a base sha'ar, and they're both batim, they're both homes, then what have you done? You've essentially placed an Erev in a home that's not part of your chatzer. So the rabbis said back to Rafa, either way, Amulei, they said to him, Shnehem lo kanu eruv. It doesn't work. Why? Manashach, I beis sha'ar mashvislei. If you're going to say that both homes have the status of a beis sha'ar, if that's the case, hanosin es eruv beis sha'ar, achsadjo merpesas, eino eruv. We've already established that if a person places his eruv in a gatehouse, achsadjo merpesas, it's not good. E bayis mashis. Like, if you can tell me that both homes are like a bayis, kamatalta le bayis de lo ma'ariv le. You are ultimately carrying through a home which is not really part of your Eruv. Because we'll say, remember, you're putting the Eruv in the home that's not next to your chatzar, but the home that's one away from your chatzar. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, why should this be different than the case of Rava? What did Rava say? The Amr Rava. Amr l'shnayim. If a person said to two people, say, va'ariv aleinu. Go and make an Eruv for us. Li echad yirev alav mi ba'od yom. I'm sorry, Omlu Shnaim. This is two people said to an individual, right? Go ahead and make for us an Eruv. And what happens? For one of the parties, he made an Eruv while it was still day. Ula echad irev alav ben ashmashas. And for the other one, he made the Eruv while it was ben ashmashas. Zesh irev alav mi ba'od yom ne'echal Eruv ben ashmashas. So the one for which the Eruv was made during the day, what happened? His Eruv was consumed ben ashmashas. The zesh she'irev alav ben ashmashos, and the one for which the Eruv was made ben ashmashos, ne'echal Eruva mishetechshach. His Eruv was consumed while it was dark. So the halacha is, shnehem kanu Eruv. Both Eruvim work. And I will say, why is that? See, interestingly enough, Rashi says, shnehem kanu Eruv, amo mishum de ben ashmashos safeku, v'safek de divreim lahakil, the Eruv midivrayim hu lagabe hai shne'echal Eruv ben ashmashos, mashvina leilayla, the amiran kvar kana Eruv, hu lagabe hai shirev ala ben ashmashos, mashvina leyom, the adayin havlushnos likos. We'll say, why do the Eruv work in both cases? Because essentially this is a safek dirabanan lakula. In both cases you have a safek, right? In case number one you have a safek as to whether or not is ben ashmashos nighttime or daytime. If it's daytime, then the Eruv works. If it's nighttime, then it's not good. And in the second case, where he made the Eruv during the day, but it was consumed at ben ashmashos, again, it depends on what ben ashmashos is. If it's night, the Eruv is good, because again, then it means the Eruv was intact on when Shabbos started. And if it's day, then it's not good. So the Gemara says that, lemaisa, you see, Eruv is derabbanan. Therefore, anytime you have a suffix derabbanan lekula. So Gemara says, why don't you say the same thing over here? Hachi hashtahasam suffix yimama. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, so what the Gemara is asking is, so why don't you say the same thing over here, that in this case of the two homes, in between the two chatzeros, so I'm not sure, right, I'm not sure, should it be a bayis, should it be a beishar, and we should just say, safek derabbanan lekula, to which the Gemara says, no. Hachi hashta hasam, safek yemama, safek layla, lo min karamilsa. Well, so in the case of ben ashmashos, there's a valid, legitimate safek. Is ben ashmashos day, is ben ashmashos night? Aval hacha, but in this case over here, meaning the case of the two homes in between the two chaseros, id legabe dahai bayis, legabe dahai bayis. There's no safek. There's just a question of how you categorize it. And all the Gemara is saying is, either way, one thing is for sure, which is you have to categorize the two homes in the same fashion. And therefore, again, if you categorize this one as a home, then you have to categorize that one as a home. Id legabe dahai beishar, legabe dahai nami beishar. And if you categorize this one as a gatehouse, you have to categorize the other as a gatehouse as well. So the Gemara essentially answers, there's no suffix that's occurring over here. The Gemara is just saying, either way, it doesn't work. Because either way, Lamaisa, no matter how you categorize these two homes, if you categorize them both as a base shar, if you categorize them both as a gatehouse, then what? The Eruv is not good. Why? Because you can't place the Eruv in a gatehouse. And if you categorize them both as a bias, then it turns out that it's a legal placement of an Eruv. Why? Because you're going to be placing your Eruv in a home which is not part of your chatzar. So the Gemara says it's not a suffix. No suffix. Well, the din is clear. The only question is, how do you categorize the two homes? But the truth is, for our question about this particular case, it's almost somewhat academic, because at the end of the day, no matter how you categorize it, it'll still be asr. Hajan Allah, Hadar. New perek. Chalon shebein beis chatzeros. So also, we actually already alluded to this earlier. If you have a window in between two chatzeros, so we're talking about over here, you have a wall in between two chatzeros, and there's a window in that wall. So the halacha is, shebein nei chatzeros, dalet al dalet besoch hasara. If the window is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, within 10 tefachim of the ground, then ma'arvin shnayim, v'imratzu ma'arvin echad. Then I will say, what that window does is, the window says, if you want to go ahead and make one Eruv, you can. But if you want to make two Eruvim, you can as well. Meaning, so that Eruv on one hand, because you have a valid entrance, essentially, you could choose to unite the Chatzeros. On the other hand, because you still have a Mechitza, because you still have a wall there, you could also choose what? To make two independent Eruvim. Pachos mi dalet al dalet. However, if the opening, if the window is less than 4 tzvachim by 4 tzvachim, o lemala miyud, or for that matter, it is taller than 10 tzvachim, then ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. So we'll say in that case over there, we're either, again, the dimensions of the window are too small, or it's lemala miyud, it's higher than 10 tzvachim. Now we'll say lemala miyud, the reason for that is because if it's above 10, then the ma'isa, what that says is you already have a valid partition, a valid mechitza, without any entrance, without any type of opening between the two chatzeros. Once that happens, then we don't really view the opening as a legitimate opening, and therefore the ma'aseh, they must make two different eruvim and cannot come together in one eruv. Fine. Says the Gemara, Lema tnan stomach Rav Shimon Gamliel. It would appear that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why? The Omer kol pachos midalid kilavodam. So I'll say this is taking us back to the beginning of our Masechta. If you remember, again, we had a machlokas in Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon about the laws of lavod. Lavod says that if you have a space, if you have a certain small enough space, we view the space as not being there, and it's as if the area is closed. So Rav Shimon Gamliel was of the opinion that lavod is four tefachim and below. And less. Four tefachim and less. That's lavod. Meaning, so let's say if anything's up to four tefachim, by definition, it's considered lavud. So the Gemara says, and therefore again, the fact, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying the fact that when the Mishnah talks about the dimensions of the window, the dimensions of an opening, that the smallest dimensions of an opening that are significant, the dimensions are 4 tefachim. That would seem to indicate that's what? Because anything less than 4 tefachim is lavud. It's considered closed. This reflects the view of Shimon Gamliel and not the Rabbanon. The Amar Kolpachos da Kalavadami. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily, I feel the Rabbanon. The truth is, the Mishnah could even be reflective of the view of the Rabbanon. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanon, alayz Rav Shimon Gamliel, elo inyan levudin, when do the Chachamim argue Rav Shimon Gamliel? That's only in the din of lavud, right? In the din of lavud, aval inyan pischa, afilu Rabbanon modu, di'i'ika dalet al dalet chashiv, vi'ilo lo chashiv. So we'll say the Gemara says not necessarily. We can make a distinction between lavud and the basic definition of a pesach. That they may, bless you, they may argue in terms of lavud. Is lavud 3 tefachim? Is lavud 4 tefachim? That's true. But when it comes to the dimensions of a pesach, the Rabbanan may very well agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel that what? The minimum dimensions will be 4 tefachim. Pachos midalad. So the Mishnah said, however, if the opening is less than 4 tefachim, then lemaisa, again, then lemaisa, that's not considered to be a valid opening. Pshita. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Kevan da Amar Dalet al Dalet Besoch Asara. Since the Mishnah began by saying that in order to go ahead and have a valid opening between two chaseros, there must be an opening of at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim within 10 tefachim of the ground of the wall. Memela ani yadana, I by definition know that what? De pachos mi dalet, ulamala miyud, lo. So the Mishnah says a very simple idea. If you begin the Mishnah by telling me that in order for an opening to be a valid, legitimate opening, it has to be at least dalet by dalet and within 10, what does that tell me? That if it's not dalet by dalet and above 10, then what? Then it's not a good opening. But yet the Mishnah feels compelled to actually say that. So the Gemara says, why is that? Hakamash malon taima de kule lemalamiyut. The reason why it wasn't good in the second case of the Mishnah is because the entire Pesach, the entire opening, was above Yud Tfalchim. Aval miktsaso besoch Yud. But for argument's sake, if part of the opening is within 10 Tfalchim, then what? Ma'arvin shnayim vimrotsu ma'arvin echa. So also a very interesting idea. So what the Gemara is saying is the repetition of the Mishnah is by design to teach you what? That the only time that the opening is not considered to be an opening is when the entire opening is above Yud Tfachim. But let's say you have a situation, I will say, where what? Part of the opening extends within the Yud, but another part of it extends above Yud. The Mishnah teaches me, although not explicitly, the Mishnah teaches me by inference that what? That would be a valid opening. Because the only time that the opening is not valid is when it's totally lemala miyud, but partially within yud. Again, remember, we'll say, in these cases, in this particular case of dalet by dalet, with even partially within yud, that just gives you the license to make one erev if you want to. It does not compel you to make one erev. We'll see the cases where the opening is so significant that you have to make one erev. So the Gemara says, tanina luha de tan rabbana. So we choose, we have a brace that actually supports this idea. Kulo lemala miyud. umiktsaso besoch hasara, if all of it was above yud, but some of it was within yud, right? Or kulo besoch yud, umiktsaso lemalam yud, or the whole opening was above yud, but part of it extended in yud. Ma'arvin shnayim, ve'imratsu ma'arvin echad. If they want to, they can make one eruv. Excuse me, they can make two eruv. I mean, if they want to, they can make one eruv. So Mar says, I don't understand. Hashta kutna, I will say, what those cases mean, although the wording of the Brayta is a little bit strange, what it's talking about is, it's talking about a case of where the bulk of it, so let's say, for example, case number one, the kulo lemalam yud means the majority of the opening is above yud, but what? Some of it is within yud. And case number two is the majority of it is within yud, and part of it extends above yud. So what is the Brayta saying? The Brayta is saying exactly what we just said before. As long as there's some part of the opening within yud, then what? Then Lamaisa, that gives the license to make one eruv if they want, but they can also make two eruvim. Samar says, I understand. Hashta kula lamalam yud, umitzaso besoch yud, amrit ma'arvin shnayim v'ratzu ma'arvin echad. So if the Brayta tells me that Jabosai, the majority of the opening is above yud, and part of it is what? Part of it is within yud. If you told me in that case, that what? That you can make two eruvim, but if you want, you can make one eruv, then what? Then kula besoch yud, umitzaso lamalam yud, mi boy. So we'll say again, if you tell me that case of where, let's say, the majority of the opening is above yud, and part of it is within yud, but yet, even in that case, if they want to make one eruv, they can, and it goes without saying that what? That if the majority is within yud, and only a little bit extends above yud, then of course they could also only make one. Why do you need that second case? To which the Gemara says, zu ve'in sarach lamar zu katani. So there is a stylistic approach sometimes employed by the Mishnah, by the Braisos, that what? Zu ve'in sarach lamar zu. Sometimes redundant information is included, or not redundant. What is obvious information is included just for textual symmetry. Sometimes the Mishnah just, or the Brais likes to present two cases, even though what? Even though case number two is obvious after you state case number one. So it's always an interesting balance, because very often the Gemara will ask, the Gemara often will spend significant time analyzing the inclusion of certain information, and sometimes the Gemara just takes it for granted that there's nothing to be learned through analysis, it's just a stylistic idea. Okay? Amrav Yochanan, Chalon Agul, Sarach Shiyehe Bekev. So I say, now we're going to spend a little bit of time on a little bit of math. We're not going to spend too much time on it, because Tosos points out that I involve Amud Beis, that some of the calculations the Gemara is going to use over here are going to be shown to be flawed later on. We'll see why. We'll see why the calculations were off according to this approach. So we'll go through it, but we'll spend more time when we get to the Sugya, according to Tosos at least, that employs the right calculations. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chalon ogul. If you have a circular window. So I'll say again, remember, the Mishnah, and when you look at these cases, the assumption of dalad by dalad is that you're talking about a square area. So let's say again, now you have a circular window. So chalon ogul, tzar shebi hekefo, esim va'arba tvachim. So when you have a circular window, you need to have a circumference of 24 tvachim. Ushnayim umashuch umehen besoch yud. And you have to have at least two tefachim and a little bit that's within the 10 tefachim. So we'll say, he's going back to what we said before. Remember, interestingly enough, in the sugya before, the Gemara did not clarify how much of the 4 tefachim has to be within yud. So now Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that it has to be two and a little bit within the actual yud tefachim. She'im yirva'enu nimtza mashu b'sof yud. Because this way, if you square it off, you'll have a little bit within the yud. So we'll say, if you take a look, if you're in the picture books, so you can see, this is picture 245. So all the Gemara is saying is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you are now having a circular window that is going to be a circumference of 24 tefachim, and the idea would be that if you square it off, and you can see you're drawing the square within the circle, that you would end up having at least two tefachim and a little bit of the circular window within your 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Michti kol sheyesh behekefo shlosha tefachim yesh baruch bo tefach. So Gemara says, well, let's go with the following principle. Anything that has three tefachim of circumference will ultimately have one tefach of diameter. If that's the case, says the Gemara, v'treisar sagya. If that's the case, then ultimately a circumference of 12 should be enough to allow for a diameter of 4 tefachim. Right? If this is the ratio we accept, then the Gemara is asking, why do you need a circle of 24 tefachim? Having a circle of 4 tefachim would allow you a diameter, having a circumference of 12 tefachim would allow you a diameter of 4 tefachim. To which the Gemara says, Hani Mili, when is that so? When is that so? That circumference is 3 times the width. Bi'igula, that's with a circle. Ava bi'irivua, when it comes to a square, ba'inon tfe, then pi. It's a little bit off. That's why I see it's actually 3.14. That's why Tosis actually. It's actually interesting. Tosis points this out. I'm not normally a big like math professor of these, but this happens to be quite fascinating that Tosis accounts for the additional dimensions. I'm saying we're going to get to it later on, but for now, okay, we'll go with this. So the Gemara says, "Hanimili, when is this true? That circumference is 3 times the width. Bi'igula." When it comes to a square, but inon tfein, then we would need more of an area. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. Michti, kama meruba yeser ala eagle. So how much is the perimeter of the square greater than the circumference of the circle? Revia, by a quarter. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, bishis sar sagya. Then if that's the case, then 16 tefachim should be enough. What's the Gemara? All we're trying to figure out right now is why the Gemara tells me that I need a circle, that I need a circular, if I have a circular window as the entrance or as the opening between the two chatzeros, why I need a circumference of 24? The Gemara seems to be indicating that lemaisa, I really need much less. So the Gemara says, Hani mili bi'igula dinafik migo ribua. That's true when what? When ultimately the circle is drawn inside the square. However, aval ribua dinafik migo igula, but if the square is drawn inside the circle, then ba'inon tfei, then in fact we would need the greater area. So Gemara says, why is that? My taima, mishum mursha de karnosa, because of the protrusions of the corners. So Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this more. Michti, kol amsa beribua, amsa utre chumshi bala achsona. So the Gemara says, every ama that you have along the perimeter will ultimately be an amma and 2/5 along the diagonal. If that's the case, b'shivsar nechi chumsha sagya. If that's the case, then all you would need is a 17, literally 17 tefachim, less a fifth. Rabbi Yochanan says, ki dayoni de kesari. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, I got my measurements from the dayonim of Kesaria. Okay. V'armilei rabbanim de kesari, and others say, it was rabbis of Kesari, the amri igula, Migoribua Riva, because the rabbis or the Rebbe of Kesar, whoever it was, said that when you have the circle that is drawn inside the square, Riva. So also, what they're suggesting over here is that a circle inside the square is 1/4 less than the area of the square. Ribua Migoigula Palga, versus again the square with inside the circle, which will be half. So also, this is where Tosaf says that this is off, because these calculations of the Rabbanon of Kesar, the Dayan of Kesari, don't seem to make sense within the sugya. So we'll say what comes out is like this. The Gemara leaves us here without resolution, because what comes out is, the Gemara said, or Rabbi Yochanan said before, that we need a circle with a circumference of 24 tefachim, but what? But the Gemara did not tell us why exactly we need that. Based on the calculations advanced over here, it would appear that the most we really should need should be what? A circumference of 17 tefachim or 16 tefachim at most. That should give us the area that we need. Where we get the 24 from still remains unresolved, because again, the Rabbi Yochanan at the end of this says, it's not mine, I got it from the Dayanim of the Rabbanim of Kesaria, which doesn't seem to add up. So you'll put the pause button on this. We're not finished with this. The Gemara just takes a little bit of a break from it for a while. Fine. Pachos mi dalet al dalet. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? If the opening is less than dalet al dalet, if it's less than fourth falcon by fourth falcon, then the Lamaisa, it's not a good opening. So the Gemara says, Amar av nachmin lo shanu ela chalon shebein beis chatzeros. That's only true when we're talking about a window that's between two chatzeros. Once again, when I say window, you don't have to necessarily visualize in your mind a window. It just means an opening. However, aval chalon shebein shnei batim, but if you have a window in between two homes, afilum lemala me'asara nami imrotzu la'arvi la'ariv ma'arvin echad. So we'll say this. Listen to this. Listen. So the Gemara says, or I should say, Rav Nachman again says, that when we say that if the chalon, if the window is less than dalet al dalet, then lemaisa, the two chatzeros have to go ahead and make their own eruv, and they cannot join in one eruv. That's only in a window that's between two chatzeros. I'm sorry. Higher than Yod. Excuse me. That's what I thought. I'm sorry. So when do we say that a Cholon that's Lamalo Miyod, they cannot join two Chatzeros, cannot join two areas? That's only in two Chatzeros. But if, let's say, you have a window in between two homes, and assuming that window is, let's say, Dalet al Dalet, and even if it's Lamalo Miyod, those two homes can still choose to make one Erev if they want to. If they want to. My time, or what's the reason for that? Meaning, I'll say again, why isn't Lamala Miyud a disqualifying factor in the home in the same way that it is in the Chatzar? I'm sorry? They open to the same Chatzar. I'm sorry? No. That'd be one Rishus. They can make one joint Eruv.
They can both carry in the same.
Correct. Did I miss your question?
You can either make two or one. But here, I mean, isn't the case where if there are two homes right next to each other, there's a window in the middle, so therefore, I mean, they have to make an error with each other. You're saying if the window's big enough that you don't need to make an error at all?
I think it's talking about making an error with a third party. You know, when they're making an error with a third party, can the two houses with a chalon between them join together to be considered one rishus, one party, or are they considered two separate parties to deal with the third party? Because otherwise, the chutzner.
No, I don't think you have to get. Why do you have to get into a third party?
Because the chutzner already joins. The chutzner is. The chalon is irrelevant because of the chutzner.
No. I'll tell you even better. I guess you can say that. I don't think you have to say that. I'll give you a simpler case. The simpler case would be the two homes of this. Yeah, you're right, because I understand what you're saying about the chatzer. The two homes open back to back to two different chatzeros. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To two different chatzeros.
But that's not what it says.
It's interesting.
It does not say that.
It doesn't say your third case. I think my case is easier. Okay. Right? I'm saying, right, simply you have two homes, like if you can imagine, like two homes that share a common wall that open up into different chatzeros.
But they would never need two different eruvs in order to deal with each other. To deal with each other, A and B would not need two different eruvim to deal with A and B. A and B would need two different eruvim to deal with C. Possibly. You understand? There's only one Erev that's needed for A to deal with B, or B to deal with A. But if the C is involved, then possibly you might need the second Erev.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So it has to be dealing with a third party.
Are you saying that equivalent cost A joint cost B through the two Erevs?
All right, let's read it from. Maybe it'll become clear as we go on. I hear what you're saying. I don't know why you have to make it with C, but...
Because otherwise, there's never a need for it to do two different.
Are we still dealing with two?
Right. So maybe that makes the most sense. So you're saying, all right. I don't know. Let's see. So the Gemara says like this. "In Ratzul La'ariv Ma'arvin Echad." So if they want to make one eruv, then they have the ability to do that. All right, my timer. What's the reason for that? Basic iman demoli dami. Because also the idea is that lemaisa, an opening that is lemala miyud does not disqualify. Why? Because a home is considered to be filled up. The area is considered to be filled. Because the area is considered to be filled, then lemaisa, it's not considered to be lemala miyud. So the Gemara says esvei rava la Rav Nachman. So rava raised the kashya to Rav Nachman. Echad lichalon shebein beis chaseros veechad lichalon shebein beis batim. So rava quotes a raisa to Rav Nachman. Whether you have a window between two chaseros, or a window between two homes, ve'echad lichalon shebein beis alios, or for that matter, a window in between two alios. Two alios means two different floors. Ve'echad lichalon shebein beis gagin, or two windows between two different roofs. Ve'echad lichalon shebein beis chadorim, or two different windows between two different rooms. So I will say there's a picture of this. This is picture over here, page 246. You can see all the different variations of these particular windows. So says the Gemara, Kulan Dalet al Dalet Besoch Asara. All of these are required to be Dalet al Dalet within 10 Tfachim. So the Gemara says, that seems to contradict what we just said before, because we just said before, the Gemara just wanted to suggest that when you have a window that is between two Batim, then what? then lemaisa you should not need, you should not require, there's no height requirement because the home is like it's totally filled up. Here the braisa indicates that lemaisa, even with a chalon between two batim, it still has to be within yud, to which the Gemara says, tirgama chatseros. Say it's only referring to the opening between chatseros. V'ha echad likatani. But that's not what it says. It says that there's one halacha. Tirgama adalid al-dalid. Ultimately say that it's referring to the case of dalid al-dalid. There I will say when it says echad, it means that all of these openings require the dimensions of four tefachim by four tefachim. Okay, so the Gemara says, what comes out over here is that the Gemara is suggesting now that that brisa that brought down all of those cases, the common denominator of all those cases was not yud. The common denominator of all of those cases was that lemaisa, they all have to have an opening of dalet al dalet in order to be significant. If you have lul, or we'll say again, is another name for the window. You have an opening between the bayis and aliyah. So we'll say an aliyah is an upper story. So imagine for just a moment you have this opening between the bayis and the aliyah. Sarech sulam kavua lahatiro, o ein sarech sulam kavua lahatiro. Do you need the ladder to be fixed in place in order to go ahead and connect those two areas or not? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bayis v'aliyah shal shnei b'nei adam. These belong to two different people. Lul. Aruba bekarkois haliyah v'haliyah gavoa mikarka habayis. Mi armina al basic kimali dami v'havi keman delo gavoa asar ve'in sarach sulam kavoa. So the question is like this. So now we've established is that when you have a window on the side wall of the home, then no matter how tall that wall is, or how tall that opening is, the home is considered to be filled in, is considered to be completely filled, and therefore the height, there's no height disqualification. What happens, however, if the opening is, let's say, between this floor and the next floor? So let's say now the opening is in the ceiling of the lower floor, floor of the upper floor. So now in order to create a connection, in order to say that that's an opening between the two areas, do I need a fixed ladder, an established ladder there where that it's a real opening or not? So the Gemara says, when we say that a home is like it's totally filled, is that true only from the side? Emsa in this case, middle, literally means on the ceiling slash floor. Or perhaps doesn't make a difference. So he answered, you don't need a sulam kavo, you don't need a fixed ladder. The opening there is enough to establish that the two areas are connected. Savar mina, we took from this, sulam kavuahu deinot tzarech, hasulam aray tzarech. You don't need a fixed ladder, but you do need what? You need at least a temporary ladder there. Itmar, in order to connect the two areas. Itmar, amar Rav Yosef bar Minyumi, but yet Rav Yosef bar Minyumi said, amar Rav Nachman, echad sulam kavuah, the echad sulam aray einot tzarech. So the Gemara says, no, you're making the wrong deal. When the Gemara says you don't need a sulam, it means you don't need a fixed ladder, nor do you need a temporary ladder. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that lemaisa, we essentially, when we say basa kiman demal yodami, that the home is like it's totally filled up, also that's an idea that an enclosed area is considered to be one entity, one cohesive rishus. Therefore, by definition, that doesn't just apply to openings on the sidewall, but it'll even apply to opening on the ceiling. Even though, again, that opening on the ceiling is obviously not accessible by itself without the ladder, but we view the entire home as one enclosed cohesive area. Therefore, there's no need for a permanent ladder or even a temporary ladder. Halach lemaaseh, it seems to be that last opinion, that the beso keman demal yodami applies to any opening, whether it's on the ceiling or whether it's on the wall. Says the Mishnah. That's at least we'll read the Mishnah for today. Kosel shebein beis chaseros. If you have a wall in between two chaseros, gavoa asara verochav arba'ah, and the kosel itself is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. Ma'arvin shnayim, ve'in ma'arvin echad. So we'll say in that case already, that wall actually satisfies the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore lemaisa they can't make one Eruv, they can only make two Eruvim. So we'll say again, in this case there's no openings in the wall. So therefore by definition they have to go out and make two different Eruvim. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, actually we'll come back to this afterwards. So go social bein bein chaseros kavah asav rochav arba ma'arvin shai ve'im ma'arvin echad. Hayu barosha peros. Let's say again, there's fruit on top of the wall. Okay, if you want a picture of this, it's a good picture. It's picture 247. There's a nice little fruit dish there on top of the wall. Okay, so let's say there's fruit on top of the wall. So now it's interesting sometimes what they feel in need to make a picture of. Sometimes the convoluted cases, there are no pictures. But for fruit on the wall, okay, we have a picture. So what happens if there's fruit on the wall? Elu olin mikan va'oklin, ve'elu olin mikan va'oklin. So the guys from this chazer could go up there and eat the fruit. And the other ones could go up there and eat the fruit as well, as long as u'bilvad shelo yoridu lematon. However, what can't they do? They can't bring the fruit down from the top of the wall into their chatziros. Why? Because remember, since the wall of the chatzir essentially constitutes its own rishos, its own domain, therefore, lemaisa, they can't take from one rishosyachet to another rishosyachet. Nifritza kosel ad eser amos. So let's say now there was a breach in the wall. The breach in the wall. So again, when we say pirtza, by the way, pirtza doesn't mean a chalom. Pirtza doesn't mean like a window. Pirtza means a breach. And I say, if you look, there is a picture of this also. This is 248. There's a section of the wall that falls down. Pirtza, nifratza, kosa, ad eser amos. So the kosa falls down, and there's a 10-ama breach. Ma'arvin shnayim, you make two eruvim. Ve'imratzo ma'arvin echa. So also, in this case over here, if you want, you could still make two eruvim, which we'll discuss why that is. We'll discuss why that is. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'll tell you why this is. Because this is ad eser amos. This is until. If the breach is 10 amos or less, so the partition is still considered to be in existence, and therefore lemaisa, if they want, they can make two eruvim, or they can make one. However, ve'imrosma v'necha mipneshu kepesach, because that breach is considered to be like an opening and not like a breach. However, yoser mikan, if the breach is more than 10 amos, then what? Ma'arvin echad ve'in ma'arvin shnayim. In that case, Rabbi Osai, then if the breach is more than 10 amos, then what? It's as if the wall does not exist. If the wall does not exist, there's no mechitza. Obviously, if the wall does not exist, no mechitza. And therefore, again, they'd have to make one eruv and would not have the license to make two. Rabbi Osai, we'll stop over here. Yeah.